First John chapter 4. We are starting a new chapter. Let's come to the first verse. Please read verse 1.
Beloved, weep not every spirit, but try the spirits whether they are of God, because many false prophets are going out into the world.
Believe not every spirit, try the spirit where they are of God, because many false prophets are gone into the world. Now, how can you try the Spirit? You have to have the Spirit of God to find out the false spirit. If you do not have the Spirit of God, you cannot judge any spirit, because the Spirit of God is holy. And how do you get the Spirit of God? We learn a lot about the getting the Spirit of God. But here he's saying there are false prophets are gone into the world. Where are they going from? They are going from the church to out to the world. That's what's happening. And some of the people who heard the gospel, and they do not want to stay in the Word of God, and they are trapped to the world, and they became enemy of the church. If you have the best friend, and you tell all your secrets to your friend, not knowing that someday if he becomes your enemy, he will be your worst enemy. Okay, 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 17 to 22.
These are wells without water, clouds that are carried with a tempest, to whom the mist of darkness is reserved forever. For when they speak great swelling words of vanity, they allure through the lust of the flesh. Through much wantonness, those that were clean escaped from them who live in error. While they promise them liberty, they themselves are the servants of corruption. For of whom a man is overcome, of the same as he brought in bondage. For if after they have escaped the pollutions of the world, through the knowledge of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, they are again entangled therein and overcome, the latter end is worse for them than the beginning. For it had been better for them not to have known the way of righteousness than after they had known it, to turn from the holy commandment delivered unto them. But it has happened unto them according to the true proverb, the dog is turned to his own vomit again, and the sow that was washed to her wallowing in the mire.
Now these are the people who once claimed to be saved, and now they are backslidden and gone to the world. And that's why those kind of people try to bring wrong teaching, wrong doctrine, and false teaching to tangle you again with the yoke of bondage. I try to destroy you. Let's go back to the 1 John chapter 4, verse 2.
Hereby know ye the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesseth that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is of God.
Now he says, hereby we know that the Spirit of God, every spirit that confesseth that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is of God. Now, sometimes these people believe Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior, but we do not know their motive. But now, sometimes there are people who do not believe in God. They do not believe Jesus Christ is the Son of God. They do not believe Jesus Christ came to redeem the mankind. And those are the people are dangerous people. There are some people that taking the form of godliness, thinking they are Christians, but really they are not Christians.
That's right. Amen.
There are some of the denominations, I don't want to take their names, they do not believe Jesus Christ as their God.
Yes.
And they preach about Jesus Christ. So here the Word of God is saying, only thing we have to know if that person believe Jesus Christ as his Lord and Savior or not. He says he has to confess Jesus Christ, that Jesus Christ came into this world. Why did he come? He came to redeem the mankind or save the mankind. If the person doesn't care about his soul and he doesn't want to get saved, that means he doesn't know the plan of God and he doesn't want to know the plan of God. And that person is dangerous. Dangerous means what? You should not have fellowship with that kind of person. That person will ruin your Christian life. Okay, verse 3.
Every spirit that confesseth not that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is not of God. And this is that spirit of Antichrist, whereof ye have heard that it should come, and even now already is in the world.
At the same time he says, if the somebody doesn't confess Jesus Christ came in the flesh, means what? He came to die for the mankind, and he took the form of man, means flesh like you and me. And he went on the cross and he died for you. And if somebody says, I don't think that Jesus Christ has to die on the cross, and he, even though he died 2,000 years ago, that doesn't mean anything to me. They do not know how much power there is in the blood of Jesus Christ.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
Once you realize there is a power in the blood of Jesus Christ and you plead the blood, say, Jesus, I believe you shed your precious blood for me. Come into my heart. Be my Lord. Be my Savior. Something happens. And you will be new person. But he says, if the somebody doesn't believe that, that person is Antichrist. What does it mean, Antichrist? Everything what Jesus Christ is doing and saying, that spirit does everything against Jesus Christ. That's called Antichrist. So he says, if he doesn't believe that Jesus Christ came in the flesh, then he's Antichrist. So we have to know, before you make a friendship with anybody, I'm talking about deeper friendship. You can say hi, bye to anybody, that's a different thing. But if you want to deal with somebody, means you go make a business partner, you make a husband and wife partner, or you make a best friend, you have to know if that person believes the same thing you believe. Even though some people getting married to the different denominations thinking, oh, as long as that person is born again and Christian, that's fine. But at the same time, if he doesn't believe the same way you believe, you will have war in the family. If that person doesn't believe that Jesus Christ is Lord or he came in the flesh, and you start listening to that person is going to ruin your life because he is not Christian, but is what? He's Antichrist. Verse 3.
And every spirit that confesseth not that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is not of God. And this is that spirit of Antichrist, whereof ye have heard that it should come, and even now already is it in the world.
Okay, now John is telling the church, you heard that this kind of spirit, this kind of Antichrist was coming, but now he's already working in the spirit of Antichrist. What he's trying to say, real Antichrist didn't come yet. But the spirit of Antichrist is working. And he says, you heard about it. Where did we hear? I told you the other day, it's very easy, simple to remember. Matthew 24:24. Please read. And who said it? Jesus said it.
For there shall arise false Christ and false prophets, and shall show great signs and wonders, insomuch that if it were possible, they shall deceive the very elect.
The Antichrist is coming, and his false prophets is coming, and they are going to deceive even the elect one. Who are the elect one? Do you know? The elect one are called the Jewish people. And the Antichrist is coming. Now he's working in the spirit of Antichrist, trying to do everything. Now if you see in America or all around the world, they do not want anything about God. They do not want anything about Christ. They are trying to take the name of God. They are taking the name of Jesus Christ. If you pray somewhere, they say, don't pray in Jesus' name. So everyone is Antichrist. They do not want Christianity to flourish in the world. So we know that the spirit of Antichrist is already working. But the time is coming when the Antichrist will come and make a treaty with the children of Israel. He will deceive even the elect. And some of the Jewish people will say, oh, he is the Messiah. And he will deceive them. But we read in Revelation chapter 19, Jesus Christ will come, get hold of Antichrist, get hold of false prophets, and put them in the lake of fire. So their time is coming. It's not too long. So John is trying to say, you already heard it. Once you know the truth, then you know how to walk in it. Somebody has to tell you. There are so many people do not understand, and they will, if anybody comes to your house, they will say, okay, come on in. They come, anyone I'm talking about, Jehovah's Witnesses. If they come to your door and knock at your door, we'd like to tell you about Jesus or something like that. And they want to come in. And you open the door for them, they are going to bring the false teaching to you. They have their own Bibles. They have their own interpretation. So never to open the door for those people and never to listen to those people. But if you know the Bible very well, then you can talk to them. I challenge many people. Other day I met one man. He is 8 years in Jehovah's Witnesses. I gave him my card and I said, sir, day or night, anytime, call me and I will talk to you and I will tell you where you are wrong. And he said, okay, I'll call. They can find some weak believers, new believers, and try to convert those people. I asked that man, why did you get into Jehovah's Witnesses? He said, I was a Catholic, and I didn't learn anything in Catholic religion, but these people taught me a lot. I said, sir, you did not learn yet the truth. So that's why he's saying, Jesus Christ already said it, so we have to warn believers not to listen to these kind of things. Let's read verse 4.
Ye are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world.
When you listen about the Antichrist, false prophet, they do miracles, they do signs and wonders, and so the people get scared. Many people, I'm talking about Christian, they're born again Christians, some of them, and they do not believe in signs and wonders and miracles. You know why? Because when they read in the Revelation, Antichrist will come and do miracles. So they will say, whoever does the miracle, they are all Antichrist. If they don't believe Jesus Christ came into this world in the flesh, they're all Antichrist. If you believe Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, and if you believe that he came and died on the cross of Calvary, and if you believe that he is rose again, and if you do miracle in the name of Jesus, you are not Antichrist. Other people will tell you, because you are doing signs and wonders and miracles and you believe in that, they will say, the word of God warns us, stay away from these kind of people. They do not know how to figure it out, who is Antichrist and who is not. So now here is saying, you don't have to be afraid if you are a born-again child of God. There are so many born-again, not real born-again. Some people, they are thinking they are Christian, those people I'm talking about. They come to me and call me and they say, the witchcraft somebody did on me, and some snakes are crawling on me, and the devil is in my house, or I feel this and I feel that. I said, if you are a born-again child of God, no devil has power to come close to you.
Amen.
He can not dance around all around you. He will never be able to touch you.
Right.
Why? Because when they had the on their doorpost the sign of the blood of the Lamb,
amen,
the death angel was not able even able to touch any one of them.
Amen.
We have the blood of Jesus Christ,
amen,
who is the real Lamb of God.
Amen.
Once you have Jesus Christ in you, devil has no power over you. That's why he says the greater one is what? In you. Jesus Christ is the greatest. No one has any power to defeat Jesus Christ. He has already defeated the enemy. What Jesus Christ said, we just learned in chapter 3, verse 8, 1 John chapter 3, verse 8. What did he learn? He said, Jesus Christ came into this world for what? To destroy the works of the devil.
Amen.
And he destroyed. And he overcome the demonic forces. Once you believe Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, that means you invite him in your heart. He lives in you.
Amen.
You remember he promised that I will come and dwell in you.
Amen. That's right.
So when Jesus lives in you, then you do not have any fear, or you do not have to fear of any outside force. Because the greater one is lives in you.
Amen.
Then you can go and lay hand, and sick can be recovered. You can cast out demons in Jesus' name. You don't have to worry that the demon will be jumping on you.
Amen.
You remember that Siva's seven sons? They saw Paul is casting demons and doing miracles. They said, hey, it's easy. Just have to say what Paul was saying. So they start casting out the demon. Demon says, Jesus we know.
Yes, that's right.
Paul we know.
Yeah.
Who are you?
Yeah, amen.
And they jumped on those seven people.
That's right.
And they tore their clothes and they ran naked.
Yeah.
What I'm trying to say, some people try to imitate Christianity without knowing Christ. It doesn't work that way. You have to have Jesus Christ in you. That's the mighty power of God. And then you can defeat the demonic forces.
Amen.
Devil has no power over you or over me.
Amen.
We are the children of God. Not ordinary people. Verse 5. 1 John 4 verse 5.
They are of the world, therefore speak they of the world, and the world heareth them. We are of God. He that knoweth God heareth us. He that is not of God heareth not us. Hereby know we the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God, and everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. He that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love.
Now he's trying to say the difference between these people who are living the worldly life, and if you compare any worldly person, that person's life is miserable. Miserable means trouble life. The word of God says sinners like a troubled sea. Never rest. They have no peace. They have no joy. They do things to satisfy themselves. They can smoke. They can drink. They can have girlfriends without marriage. They can have gambling habit. They can have dancing party. They can do everything to satisfy their life and still feel what? Miserable. No peace. No joy. And if you know God, then you know God lives in you, then you will have the character of God.
Amen.
One of his character is what? God is love.
Amen.
And if somebody is born of God, he will produce the love of God.
Amen.
Galatians chapter 5 and verse 22, if you see the fruits of the Spirit. What is the first fruit is mentioned? Love.
Amen.
If the God is love, and if that God is in you, then what? You are love. You are fully possessed by the love of God, and the love of God should take control over your life. That's why the born again person, you see love of God in them. God is love. And how do you know if God is love? Because He gave His Son. Love gives. Love doesn't say, give me, give me, give me. Love gives. Love starts sharing and pouring out. That's what the God's love is all about. Let's read verse 9.
And this was manifested, the love of God toward us, because that God sent His only begotten Son into the world that we might live through Him.
This is what He says. God is love. How do you know love? He says, because He gave His Son to die on the cross of Calvary. And He says, only begotten Son. Why? He said, that we might live through Him. Without Jesus Christ, there is no life. People are living life. Their life is not the life of God. Life of God is eternal. Without God, that life is a short life. Some people say, oh, but we are living 100, 120. Still, that is a short life. Comparing to eternity, 120 is nothing.
That's right.
120 in this world, full of trouble, full of sorrow, full of pain, full of misery.
Yeah.
And people do not want to live, and they go to certain age and say, enough, 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 I don't want to live anymore. But if you live for Jesus Christ, your life is glorious on this earth and the world to come.
Amen.
Christian people do not say, oh Lord, oh, take me home, take me home. They say, oh, we have an example in Bible. Elijah said, when did he say it? Do you know? When the Isabel told him, we are going to kill you, that's the time he said, Lord, take me. We don't have to think about dying. Dying is easy. Any fool can die. But living is hard. But you can live in this world by the grace of God, by the power of God, and every minute you should enjoy the life.
Yes. Amen.
Somebody says, life is beautiful.
Amen.
But without Jesus, there is no life. We have to say Jesus Christ is the life giver. He says He gave His life so we might live through Him.
Amen.
We cannot live without Jesus Christ. Without Jesus Christ, life is miserable, as I said, and that life is short. We want to live a long, long life, the life of God. Verse 10.
Herein is love, not that we love God, but that He loved us and sent His Son to be the propitiation for our sins.
Okay, now here again He's saying, what is the love of God? He says, we didn't love Him, but He loved us. And how did He love? He said, He gave His Son for you. What does it mean? When Adam committed sin, before he even committed sin, God said, the day you will eat this fruit, what? You'll surely die. When God says something, He doesn't lie.
That's right.
When He says something, it's done.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
So when He says the wages of sin is death, it's death.
Amen.
So what happened? The death came on mankind, and each and every person who is living in this world without Jesus Christ, death is hanging on their head. One day we are going to die. Everybody is going to die. But if Jesus Christ comes today, just right now. And if you are a born-again child of God, do you have to die? No. We don't have to die. We have to transform. And so the death is conquered by Jesus Christ. You don't have to die. Death is only for unsaved people. Hebrews chapter 9, verse 27, it says, it is appointed,
right,
what? Once to die, and after that, the judgment. But we are not going under the judgment. Why? Because we believe Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. We have eternal life. And so here he's saying, he gave his son, he sent his son to be the propitiation for our sins. What does it mean? That means you were supposed to die, but Jesus died on behalf of you. So you don't have to die. He took the death penalty on the cross and he set us free. That is eternal life through Jesus Christ. That is the love of God we see in Jesus Christ. That you never see in any other religion. Their God is not God of love. In this chapter we saw twice, we are going to see it again. The verse 8 we say, God is love.
Amen.
Verse 16 he says, God is love. He's trying to remind you, our God is love. How we came to know his love, he says, he sent his son to die for you. You were supposed to die. He took your death penalty. And that's called love. Okay, let's go verse 11.
Beloved, if God so loved us, we ought also to love one another. No man hath seen God at any time. If we love one another, God dwelleth in us, and his love is perfected in us.
If you are a child of God, and if you have the love of God, naturally you will love your brother, because it's the nature of God. Once you're dwelling in God, and so God's love take over your life, and then the people, they see what? Love in you. When they say love, what they seeing? They see God in you. That's what it says. God is love. And then say, the love will make you perfect. That means what? If you have the love of God in you, and if you love one another, everything will be fine. We will not have to have a police officers. We will not have to have judges. We will not have to courts or anything. Why? If I love somebody, I'm not going to harm you. I'm not going to steal you. I'm not going to kill you. I'm not going to take your wife. I'm not going to take your children and murder them. I'm not going to do anything wrong if I love somebody. That's what the Word of God says. The love will make you perfect. Once you have get hold of the love of God, and how you come to know, he said, God loved me and he gave his last drop of blood for me. And once you start loving God and God start loving you and you got full of love in you, then you can love your brother. If say God is love, and if I am possessed with God, if God dwells in me, and if I don't have a love, then I'm a phony. That's what he's trying to say. You have to have God in you, and that love of God will make you perfect. Let me read that 12th verse again. No man hath seen God any time. If you love one another, God dwelleth in us, and his love is perfected in us. He says, no man has seen God anytime. Many people, I'm talking about, go to Africa, India, Muslim countries, or some other countries. they worship God. But just like Paul, he says, you are worshiping unknown God. You don't know who God is. But we know who our God is.
Amen.
No man has seen God any time. And go and read in St. John chapter 1, verse 18.
No man has seen God at any time. The only begotten Son, which is in the bosom of the Father, he hath declared.
But who revealed the God, or who revealed the Father? Jesus Christ. He was in him, with him. He came and he says, you want to see God? Look at me. Because I am the real model of God. If you see me, you've seen God. The same way we're supposed to say, you want to see Jesus? See me. I am the child of God. We love one another. We are the children of God. Now, how do you know? He says, that's why we know he lives in us and we live in him. How? How do you know you are a born-again child of God? Somebody says, I'm a Christian. Ask that person. How did you become a Christian? Oh, because my grandfather was a Christian. My grandmother was a Christian. My mom was a Christian. And so I'm a Christian. Is that the Bible teaches us? No. We cannot become a Christian just like a Hindu's child is a Hindu, Muslim child is a Muslim, Buddhist child is a Buddhist. But the Christian person child cannot be Christian. He has to believe Jesus Christ as his Lord and his Savior. So once you receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, something happens. As I said earlier, St. John chapter 1 verse 12, what he says, as many as received him, received Jesus Christ, to them he gives what?
Power
to be called the sons of God. As soon as you receive Jesus Christ, God says, now you are a child of God. Go back to Galatians chapter 4, verses 4 to 7.
But when the fullness of the time was come, God sent forth his son, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons. And because ye are sons, God hath sent forth the Spirit of his Son into your hearts, crying, Abba, Father. Wherefore, thou art no more a servant, but a son. And if a son, then an heir of God through Christ.
The appointed time, exact the time God sent his Son. For what? So you should believe Jesus Christ as Savior. And then you will be the children of God. And then he says what he does, verse 6. Go back to 6.
And because you are sons, God has sent forth the Spirit of his Son into your hearts.
Because you are the sons, how you became the sons? When you received Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. Then he said, God has sent forth the Spirit of his Son into your hearts. Once you receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, he says, I'm going to put the Spirit of Christ in you. So that's the way we became Christian. The Spirit of his Son comes to dwell in you. And that's why we call Christians the Spirit of Christ. Romans chapter 8 verse 9, please read.
But you are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit. If so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you. Now if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his.
Spirit of God dwells in you, and if you don't have the Spirit of Christ, you are none of his, means you cannot call yourself Christian. And read verse 14, same chapter.
For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. For ye have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but ye have received the Spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God.
That Spirit, what Spirit? The Spirit of God, or the Spirit of Christ, will witness in your spirit that you are a child of God. And then you will understand what the spirit of the devil is, what the spirit of Antichrist is, what the spirit is working in this world. You will not understand without born again experience. You have to have the spirit of God dwelling in you and the spirit of Christ dwelling in you. And many people are confused today and telling all the time. Some of the people do not believe in the Holy Spirit. They do not believe in speaking in tongues. They do not believe in the power of God. And they believe I'm born again, child of God, and I got the Holy Spirit. If you read St. John chapter 14, 15 and 16, all of those chapters Jesus Christ is talking about, I'm going to go to heaven, I'm going to talk to my dad, and I'm going to send you the Holy Spirit, and that will be another comforter just like me. But now you believe in me and believe in my Father, and if you do that, I will come. I will bring my dad with me and we will make our home in you. I will send the Holy Spirit. So once you receive Jesus Christ, go back to St. John chapter 14, verse 23. Please read.
Jesus answered and said unto him, if a man love me, he will keep my words, and my Father will love him, and we will come unto him and make our abode with him.
If you love me, keep my commandments, and if you keep the commandment of Jesus Christ, then Father will love you too. Because Father wants you to listen to His Son. And when you listen to the Son, and Son is saying, whatever I'm saying, I'm not saying my own, I'm saying what my Father is saying. There is a unity. Father and Son, they were always together. And that's what He says. What I will do, He says. Please read.
Jesus answered and said unto him, if a man love me, he will keep my words, and my Father will love him, and we will come unto him.
And we will come unto him.
And make our abode.
Make
with him.
Our abode. Our means more than one. If you love Jesus Christ and obey him, if you receive him as your Lord and Savior, what I'll do, I will come and I will bring my Father with me. And then we will make our home in you. What does it mean? When you are born again, you have the Spirit of Father and Spirit of Christ dwells in you. You are a child of God. And the Spirit of Christ causes you to call Abba, Father, to God. If you are not born again, you do not have relationship with God. People are saying God, God, God. They are not reaching God. God is not talking to them because they don't know who God is. No man hath seen God any time. Who revealed us? Jesus. But if you don't listen to Jesus and if you don't receive Jesus Christ, how are you going to call Abba Father? He says he puts the Spirit of Christ in you. That causes you to call Abba Father. If you don't have Christ, you will not have God. Okay, let's go further. Go back to the 1 John chapter 4, verse 14.
And we have seen and do testify that the Father sent the Son to be the Savior of the world.
We have seen and do testify that the Father sent His Son to be the Savior of the world. What is trying to say? We have seen Jesus Christ. And we are testifying. So why we are testifying and why we are talking to other people about God? Do you know? Why? So they could get saved. What Jesus Christ saved you, not to just keep your mouth shut. He saved you so you tell somebody, I was a sinner, but now I'm saved. I was sick, now I'm healed. Who did it? Jesus did it. So Jesus' name should be glorified. People get healed and delivered and set free and they never go and tell somebody why God has to heal them again. God heals you so you can testify. God saves you so you can testify. So we have to tell the world, I was a sinner just like you. I was struggling just like you. I had sickness and disease just like you. But I received Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior, and now I'm changed. That's why St. Paul is saying, this is the reason Jesus Christ came into this world. He came to save me. First of all, I have to get saved before I can tell somebody to get saved. There are people going and telling others about Jesus Christ, and they are not saved. They are in Bible colleges. They are in a pastorship. They are doing the things, telling others, and not knowing the Lord Jesus Christ for themselves. That's what we learn. There are false prophets and false teachers trying to destroy our life. Okay, now time is going. Let's finish. Verse 15.
Whosoever shall confess that Jesus is the Son of God, God dwelleth in him and he in God. And we have known and believed the love that God hath to us. God is love, and he that dwelleth in love dwelleth in God, and God in him. Amen. Herein is our love made perfect, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment, because as he is, so are we in this world.
As he is, so we are in this world. What does it mean? Our God is a holy God. Our God is a loving God. Our God is a miracle worker.
That's right.
If you say you are in God, then he says, as he is, you should be just like him in this world. We are the ambassador of Christ.
Amen.
In this world. We represent Jesus Christ. So he says, as he is, so we are. We cannot say, oh, God is so holy, we cannot be holy like him. The word of God says, as he is holy, so be ye holy. As he is perfect, so be ye perfect. As he is merciful, be ye merciful. We are the children of God. And we are going to produce the fruits of righteousness. And that's what the word of God is saying. Churches, you go, they said, oh, we cannot be holy. We are the human beings. We make mistakes. We cannot be perfect. And that kind of church you go down the drain. You keep on smoking, you keep on drinking, you keep on doing all kinds of sins, and you go to church and you don't feel guilty. Why? Because everybody's doing it.
Right.
Hear the word of God says, as he is, so we are.
Yeah.
Okay, let's finish. Verse 18.
There is no fear in love, but perfect love casteth out fear, because fear hath torment. He that feareth is not made perfect in love.
Love has no fear. And then there is a fear is not from God. A fear comes from whom? The enemy. And the fear has what? Torment. When you hear the word cancer, what happens? Fear comes on you. When you hear any disease, bad disease, fear comes on you. Who gives it to you? The devil. 2 Timothy chapter 1 verse 7, what it says? God has not given us what?
Spirit,
the spirit of fear. But he has given us what? Power, love, and sound mind. Then who has given us? The enemy. John 10:10, enemy comes to what? Kill, steal, and destroy. Jesus says, I have come to give you life, and more abundant life. So the enemy comes to kill. He brings the fear. And the fear has what? Torment. The love has no torment. Love has what? Peace.
Yes.
And there is no torment. Okay, let's finish.
We loved him because he first loved us.
We loved him because he loved us first. First Jesus Christ came, he died on the cross, he loved us, he saved us, so now we can love freely to somebody else. But here we say love means what? Love is God. And we, when you say I love you, means I said God loves you and I am a product of love. That's what I'm loving you. But they made it love like a lust. our love is like a filthy thing. Okay, let's finish it.
If a man say, I love God, and hateth his brother, he is a liar. For he that loveth not his brother, whom he hath seen, how can he love God, whom he hath not seen?
Now here simply says, if you say, I'm a born again child of God, and I love God, what is the sign that you are a born again child of God? You will produce what?
Love.
And then you love your brother. You love your enemy. You love your neighbor. You love your everyone. And then somebody will going to find out, what is this man? Is he crazy? He loves everybody. Because he said, I am a love of God. If you don't love your brother, when you see with your own eyes, how can you love God you don't see with your own eyes? But there are differences. Sometimes the Bible says, if your brother commits sin, and if you try to warn him not to commit sin, and he keep on doing sin, then consider him as a what? An unbeliever. But if the person who is born again, child of God, no matter he's a black, white, or any other color, they are all my brothers and sisters. Amen. We're supposed to love them. Amen. In the Lord. And the verse 21, finishing. And this is the commandment we have from him, from whom? From God.
Amen.
That he who loveth God, love his brother also. We got the commandment. Just go back and read John chapter 13, verse 34 and 35.
A new commandment I give unto you, that ye love one another as I have loved you, that ye also love one another.
Amen.
By this shall all men know that ye are my disciples, if ye have love one to another.
Let the whole world know that we are the disciples of the followers of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Shall we pray? Father, thank you for giving us grace to understand your will. We were dying without God and without Christ. Thank you for sending your Son to die behalf of me, so I don't have to die. All my death penalty is gone. And all my judgment is gone. All the condemnation is gone. Because I believe Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. Give me grace, Lord, to follow you. Protect us from all the dangers and harms. If there is someone right now standing or sitting in this hall, having some sickness and disease, touch that person. Heal that person. Let that person touch you by faith and say, Lord, I surrender my life to you. Come into my heart. Be my Lord. Be my Savior. Touch me. Heal me. Save me. So I can tell somebody, Jesus is my Lord. He is my Savior. Lord, bless us and use us for your glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
And amen. Please be seated.